everything I want to talk about tonight. I want to talk about how to make your prayer life better than ever. Okay? How to make your prayer life better than ever. Now, I just hit everybody in this room. Okay? I want you to know I did not tell you did not have a prayer life. Everybody here has a prayer life. Everybody. Has anybody prayed? Anybody? All right, so you've got a prayer life. We can talk about how good or how bad. I'm not here tonight to necessarily address that part. I want to take wherever you're at and show you some things and talk about some things that I think will make it better. I don't care who you are, where you're at, how much you pray, how much you don't pray, how much you think you pray, how much you don't think you pray. Your prayer life can be better. Everybody say, my prayer life can be better. Now, I want you to say by faith, are you ready? Say, my prayer life will be better. Amen. Now, how many, is everybody excited about that? All right, good. We're off to a good start. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Now, Brother Kevin's got multiple cameras up here tonight, so he said I can move about. So, Brian, I might be preaching straight to you, buddy. I might just come straight to you. All right, Ephesians 6 and 18. I feel liberty to go wherever I want to go. All right, let's read it. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let me read you the Amplified Version, because I'm going to kind of key off some of these, flushed out part of this verse. It says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, and in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, in other words, in all of God's consecrated people. We need to talk more about prayer. We need to learn more about prayer. I don't want this to sound arrogant. I need to know more about prayer. I want to know more about prayer. Is anybody here think you've got it all wrapped up? Anybody got prayer all wrapped up? You know exactly. The church needs to. And there's so many resources out there, and I read them, and I look at them, and I listen to them. And after I get done reading, and after I get done listening, and after I get done studying, I realize there is way more than what I know about prayer. And we need to talk more about it. We need to practice it more often. Can I get an amen? We need to practice it more often, because it's really good. Prayer is really good. I don't know if you know that or not, but prayer is really good. It's really good for you, and it's really good for us, and it's really good for God's kingdom. You know, James said, you confess your faults one to another, pray for one another. Everybody remember that? That you may be healed. And then he makes this statement. I love this statement. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Come on, quote it with me. Availeth much. The Amplified said, the earnest, heartfelt, continued. Great words there. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Amen. So when we are earnest, when we are sincere, when we are genuine and heartfelt about our prayer, and keyword here, continuous, that opens up a realm of power that only prayer can open up, it would seem. Amen. So here's what I believe, what I know, and what I'm going to teach you. A church with a culture of prayer, that is a church of miracles. That is a church of truth. That's a church that will, and even if a church that will pray will find truth if it doesn't have it. It's a church of truth. It's a church of power. And it is a church of spiritual outpouring. And I know one of the jobs that I have, one of the responsibilities I have as a pastor, is not just to cultivate, but to spur our church to pray. You know, the Bible doesn't say, hey, look, if the pastor prays, doesn't say if the leaders pray, doesn't say if the elders pray. He said, if my people, look, I want you to look around right now. Look at everybody at your table and say, you are his people. Come on. So he said, if my people will pray, here's what I will do. I'll listen. I will hear them from heaven and I'll heal their land. There's definitely things that get unlocked with prayer. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. I think we all know the effectiveness of prayer. If I said, hey, somebody give me a testimony, no doubt in my mind, somebody say, you know what? I could tell you I prayed, God did this, bam, 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 bam. I think I don't have to convince this crowd of that. But here's what I think also. I think every believer feels some of the same things about prayer. If you're really honest about when you start searching yourself about your interaction in prayer, I think we feel a lot of the same things. And I'm just basing this off my experience and on the fact of the experience of people that I've talked to, and the fact that you're all human beings and I can't be that much drastically different from you. But here's things I know that I felt. First of all, every believer feels that you're not praying enough. You don't have to say amen. Every believer at some point, if not right now or all the time, feels like I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it right. I'm missing something. I'm not getting it right. Or you felt that way at a season or time. I think everybody has felt I'm not doing it as well as I should. I know I could do it better. It's not that I don't know how to do it right. I'm not doing it well enough. Everybody has also felt I'm not doing it as good as, I mean, you won't say it, but you think it to yourself. I don't pray as well as they pray. Why do they pray so well? What? I mean, just like they walk in and bam, they're in the spirit. You know, they're on the Isle of Patmos getting visions. And I've got to go through 3 hours of wrangling before I can feel, you know, I've felt that. Anybody else felt, okay, you can admit this one. Anybody ever felt that way? There's somebody that just, they're just better prayer than I am. And we've all felt this, I'm not getting the results that I want or even maybe even more importantly, need when I pray. Okay, admit that one. Anybody else? Anybody ever felt that way? Now I want you to notice what I said. Those are five things. They all started with the word not. Not. This type of thinking and this type of allowing those feelings to, you know, just pervade your thought life when it comes to prayer, it literally ties your prayer life up in knots. Okay? If these are the feelings that you constantly have about prayer, it's no wonder we don't pray well and pray as good as, you know, whoever. It leads you tied up in knots. So tonight, I want to do something. This is a little bit different. I said, Lord, I do not want to beat the people about prayer because I know they're praying and I know they want to pray better. So how can we pray better? And so I feel like the Lord gave me some things to help us to understand how to pray better, how to untie some of these knots, okay? And tie some of these knots. Now, everybody say this. My prayer life can be better. Come on, now declare it. My prayer life will be better. In Jesus' name, it's going to be. So let's talk about this. Your prayer life gets better, I believe, first and foremost, when I embrace the purpose of prayer. The true purpose. Now, there's lots of purposes. There's lots of things that prayer does. But I think there's three that if you can really embrace these three things, your mind changes about prayer and about approaching prayer and giving time to prayer. First of all, the first purpose of prayer, if this is elementary for you, I'm telling you, this is going to help somebody. All you advanced students, just wait up. We're going to catch up with you in a minute, all right? But prayer, the purpose of prayer, get ready, is to commune with God. Okay? It's to talk to God. I find it interesting. In the Old Testament, I already quoted the scripture. God said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. Everybody say, if. He said, if my people. But you get over the New Testament, and Jesus says in Matthew 65, when thou prayest. It's not an if. It's a when. So in the Old Testament, it's an if. In the New Testament, it's a when. So here's what I gather from that. Again, deep minds here. Jesus seems to be expecting to hear from us. Amen? Now, I know where your mind went when I said that he's going to beat on us because we're not praying that God expects and we're not showing up. No, I want to change your mind about that. Listen to me. Let me say it like this. Jesus is expecting to hear from us. Is that a little bit different for you? Do you understand how awesome that is? All right. Some of you are bored with that. So let me try to share it this way. I can't remember who told me this, but somebody told me recently that they were in the Bloomington airport and Henry Winkler was flying out of Bloomington. If I don't know who told me that, but somebody told me that. Henry the Fonz. The Fonz, okay? You know who that is. Who doesn't know who the Fonz is? Some of you, I can't imagine anybody. Okay, all right. Some of you did not watch TV in the 70s. I understand, okay. You may have just blown up my illustration. You're not going to understand, Jonathan, but they said Henry Winkler was in Bloomington Airport. Turns out he's got family in Normal, and he comes here and flies in and out on a regular basis. I heard that, and I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest, transparent. I said to myself, the Fonz comes to Bloomington. You gotta be kidding me. The Fonz in our Bloomington. I mean, I did watch TV in the 70s, and I got a little bit excited. How would you feel? Okay, I got pretty excited over a guy just flying in the same airport in the town that I live in. How would you feel if someone famous called you up and said, hey, I'd like to spend time with you on a daily basis? What if one of the most famous people, the most respected people that you know called you? Someone that doesn't even, you'd be surprised, how did they even get my number? Okay? Maybe think about the president or whoever. In my context, I thought, what if, and I'm hoping this goes viral and he gets this message. What if David K. Bernard, Dr. Bernard, the general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church, called Brad Nave and said, Brother Nave, I'd just like to call you on a regular basis and I'd like to know what you're thinking. I'd like to know what's going on in your life. You know, tell me about your wife. Tell me about your kids. How's your church going? All that. I'm just telling you right now, my mind would be blown if somebody. So I think you know where I'm going, Hen. A greater than David K. Bernard is among us. And thank God a greater than the Fonz is among us, right? Right? Do you understand the King of Kings? Woo! And the Lord of Lords said, when you pray. Jesus is expecting to hear from you. Are you kidding me? You telling me that the God of all the universe, isn't he busy? I mean, doesn't he have something to do? You're telling me he's got my number? See, I want you to change your perspective about prayer tonight and realize this isn't something that you have to do. This is something you get to do. That Jesus wants to know all about you. Your wife doesn't even want to know all the things going through your head, gentlemen. Ladies, I guarantee you your husband doesn't want to know all the stuff that's going through your head. Okay? What other person on the planet wants to commune? When I say commune with God, I mean wants to have that deep relationship with you. How many other people on the planet? Very few, if any, And so the first purpose of prayer is to commune with God. When you consider the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords wants to hear from you all the time, it changes your perspective about prayer. When you realize that God meant it when he said, the prayer of the upright is my delight. And God says, I delight. You think about, listen, the best scenario I can think of is my grandkids. I love to talk to my grandkids. I love it. Any grandparent that doesn't, there's something wrong with you, right? I mean, I love to talk. They don't say anything, honestly. They say cute stuff. They're not giving me information for stocks and bonds and Wall Street and financial advice. It's not important information. The information I'm getting is the relationship with them. I just love to hear their voice. Do you understand? That's God. That's God towards you. He just wants to hear your voice. He delights, like a parent would delight in hearing this little child, all right? Like a husband or a man would delight to hear most of the time his wife's voice. Hallelujah. Amen, right? Prayer is about communing with God. The second purpose of prayer, second purpose I think is going to change your perspective, is that prayer, the purpose of prayer is to change, listen to me, you. Many times our idea and our attitude towards prayer is we're going to change God. We're going to change his mind. We're going to change his actions. We're going to get him to do something like he's some sort of little circus freak that we're just going to command and tell him what we want him to do. Listen, prayer is not about changing God. God does not change. Prayer is about God changing you. Here's what I've found out. This is just me. You tell me if this happens to you. When I pray, it changes my attitude. I mean, I never find God said, you know what, Brad, you're right. I think I'm going to change some things. No. Usually, it's the other way around. I'm like, you know what, God, that's not the way I ought to be thinking. I think I ought to change some things. Prayer changes. Prayer has changed my opinion. How strong is that? Well, I know what I think about him. I know what I think about her. Prayer has changed my opinion before. And this is strong. Listen, this the culture hates this. Prayer will change your feelings. Oh, don't tell me how to feel. Well, don't tell God to tell you not to tell you how to feel. Prayer has changed my feelings. Prayer has definitely, Sister Road, changed my direction. I was headed one way, and I prayed, and all of a sudden I figure out that's not the right way. Prayer has changed. It'll change your perception. It'll change your decisions. It will change your perspective. Part of the purpose of prayer is to commune with God and for that prayer to change you. The third thing that I think is important to really appreciate prayer and to send you in the right and to make your prayer life better is when you embrace the purpose of prayer and understand that it is to accomplish God's will. Not mine, but God's will. Prayer paves the way for a lot of what God does in our lives. What we testify of how God has been and what he has done, much of that is born on the back of prayer. I can tell you this, you've heard me say this before. Whatever this church is, whatever it does, whatever success it's had, whatever life change that it has brought or been a part of, it has been on the back of prayer. Prayer has made that possible because prayer accomplishes the will of God. The disciples asked Jesus, show us how to pray. They were smart guys. He said, look, I mean, you're walking with Jesus. You still need to know how to pray. Still, there's something that says, show us how to pray. Show us how to pray, Jesus. And Jesus said, here's one of the things you got to pray. Thy kingdom, you pray this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, talking about God's, in earth, very key here, in earth as it is in heaven. So that tells me God's will is always done in heaven. That's easy for me to grasp. It's also easy for me to grasp that it's not always done here on earth. What unlocks the will of God on earth? Prayer. Didn't Jesus, am I all right? Isn't that what Jesus said? So that tells me when I pray, it gives me that prayer has the ability to unlock on earth what is already happening in heaven, what God desires to happen on this earth. I wonder, I will be careful with this because God will do what he wants to do with or without me. But I wonder how much of God's will has been missed because of my lack of praying it. Or how much has been offloaded to somebody else in this room because I didn't pray heaven down on earth. God's will is always done in heaven, seldom done in earth, because it depends on prayer. Prayer, think of it this way, is the umbilical cord that connects heaven to earth, and it births the will of God in your life. Prayer brings what's happening in God's house to our house. And so part of the purpose of prayer is to accomplish God's will. And when you understand that purpose, well, then it becomes, for one thing, it may change some of your priorities. If I want God's will in my life, hey, well, maybe I should make this a priority. If I really want to talk to God, if he's really that excited, should I be ignoring him? I don't think so. Maybe I ought to get excited about talking to him. So your prayer life gets better when you understand the purposes of prayer and what it does for you. Secondly, your prayer life gets better. It gets better when prayer is a part, listen to me, of your personal culture. Your personal culture. What are you? If I just asked that tonight, and I said, what are you? There'd be all kinds of answers to this. Some would answer, well, I'm a man. Some would answer in the context of their profession. Well, I'm an engineer. I'm a factory worker. I sell insurance, whatever it is. You'd answer according to your profession. What are you? Well, you'd answer, some folks would answer according to their personality. Well, I'm a go-getter. I drive. Well, I'm kind of an introvert. Some people would ask that. Some people would answer according to their purpose and what their purpose, they feel like their purpose in life is, or according to planning. Everybody has a personal culture, and we decide most of what that culture is. And it's made up of our decisions. It's made up of our likes and dislikes and our attitudes and all those things. And we decide a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it, what we're going to do, what we're going to focus on, and what we are going to be, what we're going to prioritize, what's going to be important, what's not going to be important. All of that wraps up just like a world has a culture, just like a church has a culture, just like an organization has a culture. A person has their own culture, and you decide what that is going to be. So if that is true, and I believe it is, then I am suggesting tonight that you add to your culture and as much as possible. You can't go wrong. You can't add too much of this to your personal culture. That you decide today to be a person of prayer. That you decide that for yourself. You might think, well, that's other people. You know, that person, that's a prayer warrior. Thank you. I knew that was coming from somebody. That's a prayer warrior. Well, what are you saying? That's their culture. That's somebody that prays. That's somebody that they get a hold of. That girl, she can get a hold of God. Anybody ever heard of that? What's that mean? Prayer is part of their culture. You think, well, they just born, they came out of the womb speaking in tongues. Oh, God, we're just praying. Hallelujah. No. That was learned, that was practiced, and that was prioritized. And so here's what I say. When I look at a prayer warrior, and there's some that I'm looking at right now, I know these are people that are given to prayer. They're known for prayer, okay? You catch them praying all the time, all right? You don't have to even wonder. Because it's part of their culture, you catch them, all right? There's people here like that. And if that's the case, then here's what I believe. Every person under the sound of my voice can decide to be a person of prayer. You want to use that title? You can decide to be a prayer warrior. Everybody here, everybody, from the youngest to the oldest, from the most shy to the most extrovert, everyone here can decide tonight, watershed moment, on a Wednesday night Bible study. You just thought it was coffee and cookies, and you came in here and you said, You know what? I remember that night. I remember that Wednesday night when I decided. Something changed in me. I decided I'm going to be a person of prayer. It's not like there was a supernatural thing. I decided it. It became a priority. It became number one in my life. It became part of my personal culture. Ephesians 6 and 18, he said, pray at all times. Pray on every occasion. Pray in every season. Pray in the Spirit. Do it. Try it. Decide to be a person of prayer. You don't have to be perfect in prayer. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be, you don't have to get all the words right. Don't you love it? I love listening to somebody that just, it just rolls, all right? Let me just tell you, I'm not that person. I know I speak for a living. Yeah, I probably should be. But when it comes to prayer, it just doesn't roll. I get so many things wrong. Sometimes I know God's got to laugh at some of the things I say to him. There's been times I've literally said, Lord, I didn't mean what I just said. That's not what I meant. And then I try to correct it and say, well, Lord, just, you know what I meant. You know the intent of my heart. You know what I'm trying to say, Lord. You don't have to be perfect in prayer. Listen to me. You just have to be practicing. And practicing, and practicing. You learn to pray by practicing prayer. Now listen, I want to be very careful here. Go ahead, watch all the YouTube videos you can. Listen to all the preaching and the teaching, and even tonight, listen to all of it. Take all the instruction that you can. Take all the training that you can. Read all the books on prayer that you can read, all right? Do it all. It's all good. It's all good. But when you get done with that, you have to do it. You got to do it, okay? I've been reading books on prayer. I'm trying to learn about prayer. I've been reading books on prayer. And the more I read, the more I'm like, okay, that's his thought on prayer. That's a good thought. That's a good thought. That's a good thought. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I need nuts and bolts. I'm a computer programmer by trade. I need to know the steps. Give me the steps, 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 steps. I'm not finding steps. All I'm finding is thoughts. And I'm trying, and I've finally gotten to a place where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to stop trying to find steps. I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to use my words. I'm going to be me. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And I'm going to do it. Everybody say practice. Practice. You must practice. And you learn to pray. I guarantee you, anybody that you look at and say, now that's a prayer warrior, I guarantee you they didn't always pray like that. Guarantee it. There was a time where they practiced. It's like learning to ride a bike. You don't sit there, watch your YouTube video, all right? But at the end of the day, you got to get on that thing, take the training wheels off, and probably fall down a couple times and embarrass yourself in front of God, even though he does not, he probably just laughs and thinks we're cute. And you're going to have to practice it. You must do it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication to the Spirit. Pray at all times, every occasion, in every season. Practice prayer every day. Start with it. Start with it. Pray first. That's been a thing I've always taught. And if you've been around here, I'm sorry if that sounds, if that's old hat. But for those of you that may not know it, pray first. David said, early will I seek you. Do the research, find out, do the word study. David's saying, before the dawn, I seek you. Before my day starts, before anything, that's when I seek you. Now, I realize there's people that don't like that time of day, and you sleep into whatever. No judgment, whatever. You sleep like you sleep. But here's what I'm going to challenge you with. Pray first. If first is at 9, pray first. If first is at 5, pray first. If first is at 1 o'clock, get a job and pray first. Okay? Everybody say, pray first. Early way, see, there's two things that battle the practice of prayer of becoming a part of your personal culture. Number one is priorities. And this speaks to the value that we place personally on prayer. And when prayer is part of your personal culture, there tends to be a plan to pray. Okay? Think of Daniel. Daniel, his worst downfall was that he prayed 3 times a day and everybody knew it. There was a plan to pray. Priorities speak to the value. The second one is distraction. Distractions speak to the focus that we put on prayer. I don't know about you, but listen, I've got distractions that come up every time I try to pray. I'm trying right now to figure out, I've had to cage my dogs. Because they will bark at squirrels and it gets my, I'm thinking squirrels out yard. I need to do lawn work out there. Oh my Lord. Talk about squirrels, right? All right. Distractions. Everybody say distractions. They're always going to come up. You've got to eliminate them. And it speaks to the focus. These fight against the practice of prayer. So the practice of prayer should be every day. And this scripture teaches us that the practice of prayer should be continual. Prayer gets better when you stop having prayer meetings. And you start becoming one. Did you like the dramatic pause in there? Wasn't that awesome? You like didn't know where I was going there for a second, did you? When you stop having prayer meetings and you become a prayer meeting. What does that mean? That means anytime that you've got the opportunity, there's a prayer meeting going on right here. Look at somebody and say, listen, this is a declaration right now. Look at somebody at your table and say, I am a prayer meeting. If I'm there, prayer is going on. Huh? Come on. What if we had that kind of attitude? Brian, what if we had that kind of attitude? Look, you say there's a prayer meeting at Walmart? Yep, I was there last night. Okay? So when you become a continual source of prayer, that's what he's saying. He said, pray always, every season, everywhere, every opportunity, every time you've got the inclination, you know what? I ought to pray about that. Stop, do it. Every time something pops in your mind, you know what? Neil, he's been having a hard time this week. I'm going to stop right here. I'm praying for Neil in Jesus' name. Somebody tells you something. It wasn't like a prophetic moment. Adita said, you know what? Kevin, I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something. He's got problems, all right? She told me that Kevin's got problems. I'm going to stop. I'm going to pray for Kevin. Everybody say, I am. A prayer meeting. When you continually pray, things begin to happen. And so your prayer life gets better. It gets better. It's going to be better than ever when you start realizing and making sure that prayer is part of your culture. It is not, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's not something I have to do. It's something that I get to do, and it's part of who I am. Your prayer life gets better when you pray like you. Okay? You pray. I'm going to tell you what God wants to hear from you. Your voice. I'm going to tell you what God wants to hear from you. Your words. I'm going to tell you what God wants to hear from you. Your thoughts. In the way that you speak. Has anybody noticed? Look around real quick. Just look around. Literally. Go ahead. Just look around. Has anybody noticed that we're all quite different? Some even more different than others. Go ahead. I know you were thinking it. No, you're thinking it. I see the giggles, right? We're all quite different. Here's the part of the scripture that I really like. Ephesians 6 and 13 says, pray with all manner. This is the Amplified version. With all manner of prayer and entreaty. All kinds of prayers. All kinds of different prayers. Praying in all kinds of different ways. Temperament can even be a dynamic that you need to understand about yourself when you pray. For instance, extroverts, I'm pretty much an extrovert. We extroverts, we need to be loud. I need somebody to say amen. Come on, where's my extroverts at? Amen. Thank you. We need to be loud and we need to move. Okay, got to move. And that may be more ADD, but that also goes along with that there. And extrovert, their natural tendency is towards action rather than maybe quiet, calm meditation. No judgment. I'm just saying extroverts maybe more so that way, not always. They also probably pray a little bit more impulsively. Praying through the tabernacle is tough for a person like that maybe, right? Structured prayer like that at times. That type of person maybe says, I'm going to pray what comes into my mind. If it comes in my mind, I'm going to pray it. I'm going to pray it. And if the squirrel comes in my mind, I'm praying for that squirrel out there. In Jesus' name, bless him, Lord. Give him. You know what I'm saying? So understanding, some people, I think, and this is just a side note and I'll go on. Some people, I think, fight their personality and their makeup in prayer. And they're like, I want to pray through the tabernacle, but good Lord, the basin, I can't even get past the washing of the word. And what does that mean? You know, and all this type of stuff. Some people have trouble with that. All I'm going to tell you is you pray you. God wants to hear you. And there's nothing wrong with praying the other way either. There's other people that are introverts and they're more prone to meditation. All right? Prayer meeting kind of puts them on edge. So many people praying, so many voices. And man, I value my quiet time with the Lord. I want my personal devotion. I want it quiet. I want it private. I just want to hear from the Lord. And we're just, you know, the rest of us are going nuts, you know, in something like that. The bottom line is this: you pray you. God's looking for your words, your thoughts, and he's definitely looking for your requests. And he's not critiquing your prayers. He's not up there saying, oh, did you hear, y'all hear Allison? There wasn't an F in her prayer at all. She said lead. She didn't say leadeth. There wasn't a leadeth. There wasn't a keepeth. There was no King James at all. What kind of prayer is that? Listen, God's not up there critiquing your prayers. He delights in the sound of your voice. You pray you. The only bad prayer is the one with ill motive. James says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. You're not asking right. You're asking it with the motive of serving yourself. So all of you that are praying coals of fire to come down on your enemies or somebody that you don't like, that's not going to happen, all right? But I will say this, that every other earnest prayer is a good one. You hear me? It's a good one. I don't care what you felt. I don't care how effective you thought it was. Earnest prayers are good prayers. It wasn't very long. It was still a good prayer. I wish it could have been better. It was still a good prayer. Amen? Your prayer life gets better when you understand, I don't have to pray like Sister Rose. I don't have to pray like Brother and Sister Dave. Good Lord, they've been praying since Noah, all right? They pray like crazy, you know? They pray, you know, picking out, you know, what they're going to wear in the morning. So I don't have to pray like them. I got to pray like Brad Nave. That's who I got to pray like. And God is looking for Brad Nave. Amen? And he's looking for you. So pray like you. Next thing is this. Your prayer life gets better when you, this is just brief, when you use, this is a both sides of the road. That in prayer you use both sides of the road because prayer is a two-way street. Okay? A lot of people have this perspective that prayer is all about me talking to God. And it is. But the reason many people don't get an answer in prayer is because they never shut up and listen. Hallelujah. I didn't realize that one would hit so hard, but it seemed to, that's like a boom, bombshell, all right? A lot of talking going on in this room, it seems. Here's what Jesus said. He said, my sheep know my voice. And I know them and they follow me. They hear my voice, okay? And if you don't know what it's like to hear the voice of God, then practice. When you get done saying all you need to say and say, I've run out of things. How many of you ever said, I said everything I needed to say and I don't know what else to say? Anybody? Listen, that's a great time. You don't even have to work at it. You know, you've used all your words. You don't have to work at shutting up. Just sit there and listen. Listen for what God says. Because here's what I'm telling you. If you don't listen in prayer, you're just giving God a lecture. You're just telling God all the things that need to happen, all the things that are wrong. Don't God call God up and just dump on him and then walk out and not even hear what he has to say. I'll give you an example of this in our life. A few years back, of course, we went through just a very traumatic time with Easton, with the cancer and all that. And one of the most treasured times in my life was a day that I was in prayer about all this. And I was fussing with him about, I was lecturing God really about how this wasn't fair and you know, why us, and you know, there's just all the things, all the terrible things you would probably say in that moment. I was saying them all. And I was praying. I wasn't reading, I wasn't studying, and the Lord spoke to me. I was at, kind of at that moment. I'm like, I don't know what other complaint to lodge here. I don't know what else to say. I'm in grief and I'm broken. And the Lord spoke the way he does. It wasn't an audible voice or anything like that. Just, I had these questions start coming to my mind. God said, you know what, go look at the loaves and fishes. And I've preached this, so I won't go through all that. But go look at the loaves and fishes. God gave me a word. He gave me a word for me. He gave me a word for my family. And today I look back and man, I wouldn't trade that morning sitting at my kitchen table for hardly anything. because that was a moment where I know God spoke to me. Has anybody, and don't feel intimidated if this hasn't happened to you, but I just want, I want there to be a testimony in this room. Has anybody had a moment where you knew that was the Lord that told me that? That was the Lord that showed me that. That was the Lord that directed me in that moment. Everybody, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. If that hasn't happened to you, listen to Pastor. God wants that to happen to you. And without being accusing, I'm just telling you, it happens when you take time to listen in prayer as much as you take time to speak in prayer. He has some things he wants to say to you. Your prayer life gets better when you pray for more than you. Okay? So that scripture ends there to say, to that end, since you're supposed to be praying about everything, every occasion, every season, to that end, keep alert. Eyes open, heads up. Watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints. Every day in our lives, we step into apparently random situations. We perceive that they are ordained of the Spirit. We will learn to respond to them knowing that God has not brought them by accident. A lot of what we call random is not random. So that was just me. Let me just ask you, when's the last time your flesh told you to do anything for God? When's the last time your flesh said, you know what? You really need to intercede for that person. I'm telling you right now, that was not you. Your flesh would say, no, go get a pizza. Okay? Do something else. Your flesh is never going to tell you to do that. So when God, you need to learn that some of this stuff is God prompting you. You need to learn to recognize these random thoughts, feelings, or events intended by God to prompt us to intercede, to prompt us to say, this is not about you. It's not about your finances. It's not about your kids and your problems. I want you to pray for Chase, for Adina. I want you to pray for Pam. I want you to pray for Bishop. I want you to pray for Brian, the guidances. I want you to pray for your city. I want you to pray for your leadership. God has a lot for you to do. And when you think about the depth of all truly you could pray for, then there's plenty, plenty to consume a lot of your prayer time. I started doing this, and I say this not because I'm perfect at it. I'm practicing this. I started doing this. I have a time of prayer in the morning, and I would pray, and I'm very, in a lot of, I'm weird. It doesn't matter what I am, but I'm a list guy. And if I got things to do, I have a prayer is hard for me because I'm like, I got stuff to do, so I need to do this because I know I need to pray, and it's good to pray, and it's going to help me with all the stuff I got to do. But in the back of the mind, I'm fighting all the stuff that I have to do, and I got to put all that away, right? And so I'm going through this thing, and the Lord stops me and says, I've got this preacher. I want you to text him these words. And I mean, it just came to my mind. And, you know, crazy thought, well, what's he going to think about that? I mean, it's not like I don't even know this guy really. I mean, I know him, but I don't know him like text him early in the morning, hey, how you doing, kind of know him. You know what I'm saying? So this is going to be weird for him. That was just a kind of pass. And the Lord just kept, And so I'm like, fine. You know, what's it going to hurt? A text. I lose nothing. So I text the guy. He comes back and it was just something simple like, man, love you. I don't know what's going on. You know, maybe nothing's going on, but just you came up in my prayers today, and I just want to let you know I love you, and if you need anything, call me, blah, 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 blah. I mean, just, I didn't even know what to say. And he came back and said, man, you don't know what it meant for you to text me. You don't know what was going on. And I'm sitting there going, now that's cool. Happened to me again. This one was funny. It just, and I may have already told this, I apologize, but it was the same sort of thing. And it was a North American missionary here in our district. And the Lord told me, he said, and here's what he told me to tell him. In fact, I wrote it because I wanted to get it exactly right. I told him, I said, good morning, brother. You came up my prayers this morning. Just wanted to let you know someone was praying for you. You are loved. God sees you. Keep digging. And I just meant that in a generic way. Would you believe at that precise moment, he was digging the foundation footers for his new building? There was no one else, nobody in the, anybody else in the church showed up. He had no help. He was just fussing and messed up and upset that here he was trying to build this church, God, and I'm out here digging a ditch, trying, should be out there ridding souls, but I'm digging a ditch, I don't know. And here comes this text, ding, keep digging. Now, if that was me, I would have got aggravated, but he came to me, this was months later, he said, you don't know what that meant. What that meant to know that God knew exactly where I was. I don't say that, please. Forget, that's two times, all right? I got 30 years of ministry. I just gave you two times. That's not a great record. What I'm telling you is this. That ought to give you an idea that, you know what? Maybe that's what I need to be doing. And maybe some of this stuff that I'm struggling with and my own stuff, maybe if I just kind of put that on the back burner and I start interceding for others, that God will take care of this other stuff too. Amen? So you may be the only representative of heaven that God has on the scene to enforce his will. Why would you pass up that great opportunity? So your prayer life gets better when you pray for more than you. So let's summarize tonight. I don't know what time it is. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing good. Okay, so let's summarize. Perfect. Our prayer life can and will be better. Everybody say, my prayer life can be better. Declare it. My prayer life will be better. So it can and will be better. Better because I know the purpose of prayer. It is to commune with God. It is to be changed by God. It is to see the will of God. My prayer life will be better than ever because I am going to decide tonight, right now, that it is part of my personal culture. Prayer is who I am. I am a prayer meeting. I don't have to be perfect. I just got to keep practicing. Amen? My prayer life will be better tonight because the pressure is off to pray like somebody else. I can pray like me. God wants my unique voice and loves the way, delights in the way that I talk to him. My prayer life will be better because I'm not just talking. I'm going to talk and listen. And I know that God has some things to say to me. My prayer life is going to be better because I'm not just praying for me from now on. I've got an entire church to pray for. I've got an entire city to pray for. I've got an entire state to pray for. I've got an entire nation to pray for, an entire globe to pray for. When I think in those terms, I'll never run out of things to pray for. I'm going to have to cut it short because I've got to go to work, or I'm going to have to cut it short because I've got to take care of other responsibilities. There's never a lack to pray for. And everything we pray, it is powerful, and God does something with it. Amen? Why don't we end with prayer? Lift your hands. Would you pray that over yourself? God, my prayer life needs to be better than ever. Lord, the times demand it. My life demands it, Lord. Your kingdom demands it. And Lord Jesus, it is a privilege. God, tonight we are excited with the notion that you desire to hear us. God, that you love what we're doing right now, that your heart is pleased when your people just reach out to you, God. And not only do you hear, but you answer. Oh, God, I pray, Lord, that even as we leave this place, we're driving home tonight. I pray in moments of silence and solace and meditation, God, that you would speak to us, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit says to the church and to our lives and to our families and to our marriages, Lord. You are speaking, God. You are speaking. If we could tune into the frequency, God, you have much to say to us, Lord. God, we thank you for it, Jesus. And God, it is going to be better than ever from this day on, this night on, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you for coming to Bible study tonight. Amen. Go in the name of the Lord. We're going to see you on Sunday. We're going to have a great time. Connection classes at 10 o'clock and then 11 o'clock. We'll have our worship service. I'm going to try my best this week to send out a survey. I am interested in the thoughts of how everybody thinks the connection classes are going. Just a quick 2-3 question survey and then a place to put some notes down if you've got other thoughts you want to share. So please take a couple minutes and fill that out for us so we can make sure that we're doing things that are helpful for you in your walk with God and the kingdom of God. God bless you. Go in Jesus' name.